and having fun.
If he's not ready, don't throw him out there. Wake the kids and phone the neighbors.
He's the suit and the voice of NASCAR in the Music City, Chase McCabe.
The most famous words in motorsports.
He's a three-time Emmy Award winner and Nashville's media darling, Big Joe Dubin.
Two words I hate more than anything else, mental reps.
This is the Chase and Big Joe Show. Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Release the hounds.
Your sports live here on 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday. The Titans, the Broncos coming up this Sunday, and we bring in our man Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, who is with us. Chris, what's up? How are you?
Man, I am good, relaxing, just getting ready for the Tennessee Titans getting ready to play. I'm hoping to go down there and beat Denver, but here's the crazy part about the whole situation. I'm from Denver.
So,
and I grew up as a Denver Broncos fan. I watched John Elway, you know, the Three Amigos, you know, Tom Jackson. So I played for the Titans, but I grew up, you know, watching the Denver Broncos.
Okay, so you can then answer this question that
– Sure.
Look, I think it is – we talk about it too much, but I also feel like it is a thing, the altitude. How much of of an advantage does that give Denver? Does it give Denver? Or is it something that just the Titans know they have to deal with and they're prepared for it?
I mean, you can't really prepare for it, because the funny thing about it is I grew up in Denver, so I'm used to it, so I don't really know no difference. But it's funny where, you know, because I haven't been there in a long time, and then I visited maybe about 6 or 7 years ago. And, man, you can't breathe. The airfare is heavy. So the Tennessee Titans are going to have to, not really focus on that. But you better believe when you get into that third and fourth quarter, it is going to be hard to breathe. But you have some trainers that are going to make sure that things are in place. They're going to have oxygen tanks on the side. They're going to make sure they hydrate. But at the end of the day, man, that altitude is an absolute monster.
So I got to tell you, I was really impressed by the answer that a young man gave when asked about being higher up in the depth chart this week, and that was Alec Iomanner.
Yeah.
He was asked about that, and he said, look, I take the mindset of that doesn't really mean a whole lot. That can mean one play. That can mean zero plays.
Yep.
That can mean 10 plays. I'm just going to be ready for whenever they call my number. And I thought that was the perfect answer that that young man needed to give.
Yeah, because you just got to stay ready. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. The third game of my rookie season, they put me in a starting rotation. And I remember Les Steckel said the exact same thing. He said, Chris, you may not get a whole bunch of opportunities, but when you're called upon, make sure you stay ready. So we're in our second series playing against the Cincinnati Bengals, and Chris Chandler calls a post to me. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to stay ready. Ran a post, caught my first touchdown, and then on a drive later, I caught another touchdown. So when the opportunity was called, I actually made the play. So now you got Alec to where he's thrown into the mix. He's thrown to be a starter. He expects to make plays. You may not get a whole bunch of opportunities, but when you have that opportunity, make the big play. Because if you make the big play, then it takes the pressure off of Tyler Lockett and it takes the pressure off of Calvin Ridley. So you have to make the plays as a rookie.
I think what we've done here.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You got to do this right, okay? Because I selected a song.
Oh,
poor Chris.
Hit it then.
I know you won't all believe me, and I refuse to let you go.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's my favorite feature for your symphony.
I love this song.
All right, take it now, Chris. Take it.
To me. Ain't too bad to beg. What? Oh,
that might be the best one so far. love it. I think we're bearing the lead here because of what's happening tonight. You take on Chase's alma mater tonight at FRA.
You already know that when we beat him, he's got to wear a tank top and it's got to be like a medium. And he's got to sing the NBA fight song. So I can't wait to take the picture and get those vocals ready, baby.
Oh, okay. My God. Come on, FRA. I don't want to see this.
Whoa.
Oh, my gosh.
FRA? Are you serious?
I don't want to see him wear a tank top and sing. A tight tank top. I mean, I've seen it before. I don't want to see it again.
Is this at NBA or at FRA?
No, we go to FRA. And okay. They got alumni coming back. They got bonfires. They got Jerry, I mean, they got everybody there, man. Everybody's going to be there. So we just going to prepare. I'm in the mindset of, man, we're the underdogs. I mean, when's the last time we've been the underdog? But, man, hey, we're going to make it happen.
I think that'll be a good game.
It is. It is. They're good. They're loaded, man. You know, Gus Singer, great head coach. You know, great physical guys on offense, defense. But at the end of the day, it comes down to who's physical and who's going to blood each other's nose.
That's it. Bottom line right there. All right, so let me ask you this. 1995, your first game, you go to Jacksonville as a rookie. What was the plane ride like? What was the anticipation like the night before? Going to the stadium next day, because I want to put you in the mind of Cam Ward and what he's going through on Saturday.
You know, I was nervous, and it really didn't set in until I actually got off the bus and walked into the stadium. And then you walk into the stadium, and the stadium looks ginormous. I'm like, this is surreal. I mean, you're sweating, you're nervous, and you're like, oh, my gosh, my dream is just getting ready to fulfill. So if I would give some advice to Cam Ward, is just sit there and soak it in. Because at the end of the day, you may have a big stadium, you may have a big crowd, you may have all those things, but at the end of the day, it's still X's and O's. It's still making plays. It's saying, you know what, in spite of what's going on, in spite of all these things that are going on around me, all I can do is control what I can control. So we went into Jacksonville, and I think I had two catches. I can't remember, for like 26 yards. But after that, I kind of settled in and just made some plays. So, man, it's surreal, but I absolutely enjoyed it.
What was it after you made your first catch? Was it a deep breath like, all right, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good.
It's yes, that you're good, but it's a lot of emotions into it. It's kind of like, you know, all the days where I couldn't make it, all the days where they said I wouldn't make it to the NFL, all the days I sweated and I bled and I cried and wanted to give up. When I caught that first pass, it was like, man, I actually made it. And I'll never forget, you know, when I caught the football, I ran to the sidelines and I told Hoss to keep the football, and I still have it in my closet. Why? Because it reminds me that even though you may start it at this point, you still can do great things after you go through adversity. So I still have that ball, and when I caught that ball, it just brought back so many emotions and so many memories.
What do you think Callahan should tell, or what do you think he's going to tell Cam Ward right before that first series?
You know, what you do is you grab Cam Ward and you look him in the eye, square in the face, and you say these words: just go be Cam. You don't, you know, everybody's expecting you to be Superman. Everybody's expecting you to do all these things, but just go be Cam. Just go out there like you did at the University of Miami and play football. Yes, you're going to get blitzed crazy by the Denver Broncos. Yes, you're going to go against some great cornerbacks, but just be Cam. Go out there and have fun, just like you'd be in practice and you're yelling at Jeffrey Simmons. Yell at the defense end for the defensive Broncos, because at the end of the day, it's just a game. Go have fun. Enjoy what you prepare for. Go do the thing. Just be Cam and watch Cam do some great plays.
How the hell did you have you averaged 23 and a half yards per your rookie year?
Yes.
Come on.
Crazy. I'm going to give you a perfect example. There would be games, I think after that we played Cleveland, so I would have 2 for 90. And then the next game, and then we'll play the Cincinnati Bengals. When I caught my first touchdown, I had 2 for 104. So it was kind of like that. So every time I caught the ball, it was for chunks and chunks of yards. Listen, my rookie season only had 35 catches for 824.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And then on flip side, I made the all-rookie team because and then I had 9 touchdowns. But every pass that I caught was chunks and chunks of yards.
I'm looking at the stat. I mean, I don't know if any rookies come close to. I'm sure some have, but that's just amazing looking at that. I mean, and you got over the butterflies, and there you go, man. Hopefully, Cam can do the same thing.
Yeah, and there was times where I caught some passes and I ran the wrong route, but I scored because Les Tekle was going to get on me, because there was times where I ran the wrong route because I was so nervous. But then they turned into touchdown. He said, "Chris, I love the touchdown, but don't you ever do that again." So it was those things that you did that were absolutely fun.
Chris Sanders is with us, Forever Titans wide receiver. Did you notice that? Did Steve change from his first start to the last time you played with him? Because I feel like he was always stoic.
It's not that he was stoic. He was like, it's like he was asleep before the game. He had things that he did to calm him down, like. We would have to go wake him up before the game, and he'll have the towel on his face, and he'll be like, "Oh, we got a game," and then he'll go out and run and throw a pass. It was just that's how he handled these things. I never ever seen once that Steve McNair really raise his voice or cuss or yell at anybody. He was just kind of like, "I'm here to do my job. I'm here to make plays, and I want y'all to follow me." And that's just kind of cat that he was. He fell asleep before the game. After the game, he rides in the car to his car. Then he comes to practice. So he says hi and just kind of jokes with people. But at the end of the day, quality player, quality guy who I'm absolutely going to miss. Rest in peace, number nine.
Yeah, and the thing with Cam Ward is now he likes to chirp a little bit. And,
oh yeah.
And Steve didn't really do that from what yeah. I could tell. And so, and I like that. I think that, yeah. you know, gives you confidence, maybe a little cocky, but, you know, it's okay. It's okay. But I do feel like there is that he kind of does it in a calm way.
Yeah, he does, but it made Jeffrey Simmons mad in practice. You got to be careful who you do it to. I mean, you got to do it to, you got to look on the defense and find the smallest guy and do it to him. Don't do it to Jeffrey Simmons, who can bench press the whole stadium. You just got to know who you got to do it against. But at the end of the day, that's the thing that motivates Cam Ward. He loves to joke. He loves to be carefree because that's how he plays. Look at what he did in college and look at what he does. I don't know what they do when they cover their mouth and they wave. I don't know what that means, but that's something that he does, and a lot of people kind of follow his lead.
Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders here on this Friday. Chris, we're going to miss you Sunday. I know you got some NBA coaching duties,
yes.
but we look forward to having you on the pregame show for most weeks, including the home opener against the Rams next week with you, Big Joe, and D-Mace.
Hey, can I say this? It give me 12, just 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Take this time out to tell somebody that you love them. Tell some. I don't care if you're your mama, your daddy, your cousin, your uncle. Give them flowers today. So what I want to do is I want to give my flowers today. Joe, I love you. Big Chase, I love you. And I want to say it is an honor to be on this show each and every week. So I just want to say I love y'all, and I appreciate y'all as my brothers, man. Love y'all so much.
And we love you too, Chris, and always appreciate you and the fun banter that we have. And I did want to tell you this, that
sure.
had you not called into Silly Underdog Picks, I was prepared to give you Louisiana Monroe.
See, okay. When we beat FRA, I'm getting the smallest NBA jersey I can find. That's what I'm
all right, you have a great weekend, Chris.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you,
Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program. Coming up next, if you missed our conversation earlier this week with ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck and Innsworth head coach, we're going to give that to you coming up next for a couple of segments because he had a lot of insight on Cam, on the NFL, and everything from a quarterback perspective. We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Back here, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. We're joined by the head coach of the Innsworth Tigers and ESPN NFL analyst, Tim Hasselbeck, who joins us now. Tim, what's up? How you doing?
Doing great. How you guys doing?
We are fantastic. Man, I know it was a tough one, but, man, what a game. Like, I was keeping up with it while I was doing my game, and I know it had to be crazy being the head coach in that one. But Nashville Christian, was it two overtimes ends up winning the game? But
No. Just one overtime.
Okay,
just one. We got the ball for it first. We score, kick an extra point, and they score, went for two, and that did it. So, yeah, it was obviously a good competitive high school football game, and those are fun. Those are good for the kids to be able to remember and hopefully learn and grow from. And we obviously didn't come out on the side of it that we wanted to, but yeah, I guess what it was, a 42-41. Those are exciting games.
Did you think about going for two, or was it just kind of like, no, not,
you know, because
not
we had the ball first, you know, because we had the ball first, you know, no. I think that you can always go back. Like, you know, we scored in regulation. We could have gone for two. Not that it made sense, but, like, you would have then been up nine. You know, I was actually talking to Ben Jones about that. I think Houston had done that to the Titans a couple years ago, a few years ago, because it, for all intents and purposes, it can end the game at that point. Like on that stuff of when you go for two, do you go for two? Like, I think when you get the ball first, you know, at that point you just say, all right, we score a touchdown, we're going to kick the extra point. You know, if you go for two and get it, then you just continue to play, you know, and then they can make the decision whether or not they want to, you know, go for the win in overtime.
So I do have to ask, as we kind of, you know, move into the NFL stuff, Jared Curtis, you got to see him firsthand, obviously highly recruited and going to Georgia. What'd you think watching him? Some of the highlights I saw, I mean, were some big boy type throws.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously like a very talented kid, and you know, can really throw the football. I think the thing, it really was the, you know, a big difference in our football game is he's an excellent runner. I mean, I think that, like, ultimately, I think he only threw for about 180 yards on us. We dropped a couple interceptions. Like, that wasn't the thing. The thing was, for a kid his size, you know, his ability as a runner. You know, not only just power, because he's, you know, probably around 220 pounds, I would guess. But, you know, his elusiveness as a runner. You know, there were times we had free runners and just, you know, weren't able to get him down. So I think that, you know, when you, you know, when you see a kid that is, you know, this applies to him and applies to really anybody else. You know, if you're a quarterback that's viewed as, you know, one of the top guys in the class, generally speaking, you have physical tools that, you know, the colleges are excited to work with. So, yes, ability to throw the football, yes, size, you know, the measurables, and then your ability to move. And so, you know, I think that's, look, I mean, he could start on the defensive line for us. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the reality of, like, how big and strong and agile he is.
I thought you'd come on, Tim, and give us a Belichick answer and say, we're on to whoever this week. Who do you got this week?
So we go out to Briarcrest and play Briarcrest this week. No, listen, man, like people, I think, you know, in some ways, we're not, I guess, what if I've been here, you know, not even two seasons now, but we've lost two games. You know what I mean? We're not used to losing.
Right. Oh, no.
He cut out.
We got to upgrade. Tim's got a Cricket phone at Innsworth, which is unacceptable. We got to figure out, get Tim a new phone. All right, Tim's back. Hey,
back
Tim.
To Tim.
Hey,
hi, Tim.
Tim, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, good. No, I think you said expecting a coach answer or whatever.
Yeah.
Look, man, like, I think, look, I never, you know, took a job in coaching, you know, especially at this level, and thought, hey, like, we won't lose games, you know, like, we won't do that. Like, and what I said to our team, and, like, I said, if you play high school football and you lose a game, and that means that, like, somehow it destroys your season or destroys your following week, then you've completely missed the point of high school football.
Right, right.
Like, myself included. To me, look, we could lose five more games this year, but if we improve every week on a number of different levels, like, that's the point. Like, that's the idea. Like, that's – and truthfully, if we lose five more games in the regular season but improve every week – then we'll be way better as a team and as young men than we would be if we won every game in the regular season, thought everything was fine, didn't get things corrected and fixed, and went into the postseason. Like, we will be. And so I'm excited about that. So I have no problem saying, like, hey, listen, like, we have unique challenges each and every week. And, like, that's the beauty of high school football and the growth that you can see in kids every week.
Preach it, baby. We love it. Tim Hasselbeck on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Tim, let's talk for Belichick just real quick for 1 second.
Yeah.
Evidently, there's an article where a reporter talked to a bunch of college coaches, and they're like, hey, our main goal when we play Belichick this year is to, I quote, kick his ass, because we want to show pro coaches that are dropping down to college that this isn't easy to do. Not everybody can drop down from the pros to college and get it done. Your thoughts, because you coach, you've played all the levels,
yeah,
and to see that, and I get it from a college coach perspective of wanting to take Belichick down.
Oh, listen, like, a buddy of mine who coaches for the Vikings said to me one time, you know, sometimes coaches think that, you know, how good a coach they are, you know, is represented by the logo on their polo. And, you know, the reality is like, that's just not true. Like, one of the worst coaches I had in the pros, you know, some of the best coaches I ever had.
Tim.
It was at levels much lower than pro football.
And right.
So, you know, when you coach in pro football, you have a lot of resources in many aspects. You know, it's a relatively level playing field in terms of resources your teams have, in terms of the size of the coaching staff and the money spent on it, and then the ability of the players and things of that nature. It can get very lopsided in college. It just, and it can get even more lopsided in high school. And so, you know, when those things, you know, happen, you say, like, okay, like, what's the challenge? I'll just tell you right now, like, and this isn't in defense of Belichick, but, like, TCU, you know, has better players and has more money than North Carolina, like, you know, in terms of the lead up to this game. So, like, those are, like, the things that Belichick would probably complain about would be the same things that Mac Brown was complaining about of, like, why he was a Hall of Fame coach but couldn't get it done at North Carolina. So, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that there's going to be a motivation to play, you know, the guy that was, you know, viewed as the greatest coach of all time.
Right.
And, you know, beat him 40-14 or whatever the final was.
Yeah, exactly. All right, talk a little NFL now. I was reading about Sean Payton talking about their preparation for Cam Ward, and he said, we're going to do a deep dive into Cam Ward and what he did at Miami for his tendencies, because there's not a lot of tape on him in the preseason. Is that a good thing or a bad thing, or is that the only way you can go?
Yeah, it's the only way you can go. And, like, you know, he says that, but, like, you know, I don't know how far, you know, you can go down there without preparing for the personnel that you're going to face. You know, the reality is that, like, you know, Brian Callahan, you know, is a very different play caller, you know, than what's down there in Miami. So I think you can do that. I don't think you're going to find, you know, tendencies and things of that nature. A lot of times week one, when you get someone unfamiliar, whether that's a new coordinator or a new player, you just are a little more base, you know, in terms of what you do. You're not as, you know, game plan specific as you would be in some other scenarios. So I think that's really, you know, what will happen, you know, when you look at how Denver decides to approach the game defensively.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Micah Parsons, do you think Jerry may have duped us all and knew something? And I'll never forget you. Yeah. You were on before the Titans drafted Caleb Farley, and you made the comment of, have you ever met anybody that used to have a bad back? So whenever I see a bad back injury, I'm like, oh, that's something to pay attention to. What, is Jerry maybe a little smarter than we give him credit for?
Wait, can we all answer the question, though? Do you know anyone that used to have a bad back?
No.
You're right.
No.
Right? I don't know anyone. I still, to this day, I don't know anyone that used to have a bad back. Anybody I know that has a bad back still has a bad back. And I don't care if they are 15 or 55. Like, it doesn't matter. So, look, do I think that he knew something? Listen, every team that has a player knows their medical history better than everyone else. So that's the case. Now, with whatever Micah's got going on in his back and the true details of it are, you know, he's one of the – I don't think you can argue that he's not one of the best three pass rushers on the planet, even with his back the way that it is. So, like, did he know something? Maybe so. But, like – Would they have been okay to make him the highest paid, you know, non-quarterback? They would have. So, you know, I don't think that he's playing checkers or chess when everyone else is playing checkers on the injury history of Parsons.
We'll have more with Tim Hasselbeck coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe 102.5 The Game, continuing our discussions with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, who is on the line with us. Cam Ward will make his NFL debut officially this week in Denver. What do you want to see from him in the first game? I know that's kind of a open-ended question, but having played the position, knowing that it's his rookie year, his first game, there's going to be all that pressure on him. He's been voted a captain by his teammates. Is it just as simple as keeping it simple?
I think it's what I would say for any young quarterback making their first start is, can you play well for the duration of the game, like well enough for the duration of the game to give your team a chance to win? And so, like, depending on, you know, how well your defense is playing, what's going on special teams, field position, like, that can look different each, you know, time out. But I think that, If you give your team a chance to win in your first NFL start, like, while it might sound like it's a low bar of expectation, I just, having seen a bunch of guys do it, I think it's a realistic bar. And I say that, like, in some regards, like, I remember Eli Manning you know, in a start against Baltimore, his rookie year was awful. Had a zero quarterback rating. Like, didn't give the team a chance to even be competitive in the game. Now, it doesn't mean he's not a good quarterback or any of those things, but it just means that, like, even good quarterbacks, guys that turn into being really good players as young quarterbacks, can become overwhelmed, you know, by an NFL defense that kind of has your number on a Sunday.
Tim, how would you, if you are Sean Payton, how would you attack Cam Ward on Sunday?
Yeah, I think the big thing would be, like, win on early downs and create known passing situations. Because if you win on early downs and you just look at Denver and their ability and their team, really in general, the defense, like, they got good secondary players. I think they're pretty good at rushing the passer. And so if you can get into some of those known passing situations, that already is a win for the Broncos. So that would be the approach there. And then I think that what they'll do on the other side of the ball, because, and I think it's just somewhat Payton's identity, they're going to run the football, but they're going to move the quarterback around. And moving the quarterback around, I think, is going to create a bunch of problems for people, not just, you know, week one, but I think throughout the year when they face Denver.
How do you, the Broncos run a 3-4, which, you know, probably a third of the teams in NFL do that. Is that good for Cam Ward? They're running a 3-4. I know the inside is going to be covered up and all that, but do you like that instead of like a 4-3 attacking Cam Ward?
Yeah. I think most people would rather face a four down front. The reality is in the NFL, though, is that you get variations, even, you know, on teams that declare themselves as a three down front. You get four down variations, and in some cases, you know, jam or bear, five, whatever you want to call it, variations every single week. And then when you get to third down, you know, usually kind of has its own identity in terms of a lot of four down teams become three down on fourth down on third down or vice versa. You know, if they're a four down team, so you face it all, you have to see it all. And really the challenge each and every week is, okay, how does that affect our rules? But I would say generally speaking on base, first and second downs, it is easier, especially in the system that Cam is playing in, to play against a four down front. So no, he won't have the benefit of seeing that week one.
Well, what would you tell him if you got 30 minutes with him Sunday morning at 9 o'clock? Well, what would you tell Cam Ward? Like, all right, your first start, here's what you need to remember. What would you tell him?
Well, so here's what I think that he does really well that I don't think he would need a reminder on. When you watched him play in the preseason, I know, limited sample, he seemed calm. The game didn't seem to move fast. Sometimes with young quarterbacks, they're so amped up that, like, their feet are moving so fast that it doesn't sync with, like, the depth of the receiver's routes just because they're moving so fast, and they just kind of skip from, like, one to two to three, like, so quickly in the progression. I don't think that he really plays that way. I think that there's a natural calm about how he plays the position that I think is really good. So I believe the message that I would have for him would be along the lines of, like, you're not out here by yourself. And so I think I talked to you guys about just his aggressiveness, you know, in the limited preseason action. Like, it's first and 10 is okay to throw the check down for 3 yards. You stay on schedule. And I think there are elements that we've just always seen from him where he trusts his arm, he's aggressive with the football. And while there's a time and place for that, like, there are a lot of quarterbacks that play a long time in the NFL by just chipping away and being like, all right, you're going to give me that, then I'm going to throw that. It's 3rd and 8, and you gave me the 3-yard check down. That's cool. I'll throw it. And maybe you'll rally up and make the tackle, but maybe you don't. And so, like, I think that would be how I would want him to play early on.
I like it. I often go back to what Mike Holmgren told Favre, like the third year he had him. He said, I'd rather the guy in the third row catch your pass instead of the strong safety. And I'm like, just throw the ball away. It's okay to throw the ball away.
Yeah. And another Holmgren, Bill Walsh one is, you know, not going to go broke taking a profit, you know? And so, that's the first, that's the message on first down, right? Like, that's, like, look, if you do that, then we have a chance. It's easy to call a game when, you know, you're second and seven, third and three. It's hard to call a game second and 10, second and 11, you know, third and eight plus, third and 11. Like, it's hard to call a game that way. And so if it's hard to call a game that way, it's certainly hard for guys to play well in that environment.
Talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, what division in the NFL intrigues you the most going into this season?
You know, I think the NFC North is really interesting because I think the chance to be all really good teams. Like, we know Detroit's really good. Green Bay is going to be really good. Minnesota, if they're right about the quarterback, might be better than they were a year ago. And then what we saw from Chicago was like, oh, shoot, like, you know, like, they definitely have a super talented quarterback. They have a roster that's not as bad as, you know, people probably thought that it was when they were picking at the top of the draft, and, you know, an offensive guru. So, like, that to me, like, find me another division where you're like, yep, any of the four teams have a very good shot to win it. Like, I don't know that there's another one that I feel that strongly about.
No, I agree with that. I am curious of the AFC West, you know, simply because we're always waiting for Kansas City to hit a wall that doesn't exist. But I think the Chargers should be better. The Broncos, we saw an improvement. And I think the Raiders will be better too. So I'm curious of that one.
Yeah. No, and I agree with that. I do think the Raiders will be more competitive. You know, the Chargers lost their left tackle, and so while they'll get by, I think that'll come back to bite them when it really matters. And you said it's an invisible wall. Like, when you think about maybe the best defensive coordinator ever in football, a guy that I think is in the conversation, one of the best coaches ever, and then a quarterback that is probably as good as any quarterback we've ever seen. So, like, you know, I think we're going to be watching for a while before someone takes Kansas City off.
How worried should the Rams be? Because Stafford hasn't practiced, and again, we're talking backs and those things. And obviously,
what was wrong with him again? Yeah, what was wrong with
him?
He
used to have a bad back, apparently. No,
he used to have a bad, but then they did that surgery thing to fix it and make it feel better.
Yeah,
remember they did.
Yeah,
when they like slice open your back and it's real delicate because it's like, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So I mean, like,
is that. Hey, do you guys remember when Tiger Woods had that bad back and then he got over it? Remember that?
Yeah, he did. He really did. He got it. He did so much after that.
That's right. That's right. I remember that.
Tim, I really want to like Miami and Mike McDaniel. I really want to like him. I just don't think it's a good fit. And I'm not asking you to say, is he on the hot seat or whatever, but what's going on there? Because I think he brought some new ideas, fresh. He had Tua there. Yeah. And now it just seems like it's just chaotic.
Yeah, I mean, I think managing the personality is one thing. And he obviously is like a very kind of easygoing, cool, like doesn't feel like it's all kinds of discipline. And I think that ultimately, you know, that'll swing back around and you'll have a problem because – not everybody conducts their business with the same maturity that they should, right?
Yep.
So I think that is going on there. I think they're in a division with a really good team in the Bills. And so while you can have an incredible regular season, you know, and or good, you know, lead the league in passing and all the stuff, like you still need to get through Buffalo. And it's hard to do that. And then on top of it, you know, you kind of get viewed as a little bit of a finesse team and you have some personalities that aren't incredible. So, you know, I think those are, you know, like those are the things. Do I think other coaches would be doing better with their talent? Like, I don't really think they would be. Now, do I think there might be some more discipline potentially, but I also think you're dealing with some personalities that I'm not sure Bill Parcells would have been able to control.
Interesting. Yeah, I want to like him. I really want to like that team and what he does, and it just seems like they can't get out of their own way.
Yeah, but wouldn't you agree though? Like, there's a, I don't want to say like an unprofessionalism. I think that's unfair and unfair characteristic. But like, you know, he's from the, you know, the Gary Kubiak, you know, Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan tree. Well, like, look at some of the other guys like McVay or Kyle Shanahan. Like, while, you know, they're not necessarily the, you know, they don't look like Bill Cowher, there's like a seriousness and intensity that's a little bit different. And I'm not saying coaches, you know, need to be you know, act like somebody else.
Right.
But I do think that there's just like minimum accountability that, like, because you're dealing with some people that, you know, maybe are immature or selfish, that I just think you need to implement to make sure that you have a healthy roster at all times.
He is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and the head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Who you got Friday? Briarcrest?
We play at Briarcrest, yes. At Briarcrest Friday. I think someone told me Darren McFadden's son is the tailback there. So,
oh, wow. Shouldn't you know that?
I have a handful once again. You know what I mean?
Well,
you
know, don't ask
funny?
Us.
You know what's funny? Well, I can tell you his number, and I can tell you he's a good player.
Right.
But, like, I don't know their names. Like, there are names
numbers
on the back of the jerseys. So, like, I couldn't tell you anyone's name from last week, you know what I mean, other than the quarterback. Like, I, you know what I mean, because people talk about him.
Right.
But, like, you don't – yeah, I don't – but I tell you the number. I tell you, you know, I give you a scouting report.
I like that.
I don't know their name.
Is that what you do with Taylor? He comes down for breakfast, and you're like, 8, how you doing? Or whatever his number is.
He's 7.
7.
But, so that just means you haven't been coming over to games.
I'm sorry. I just assumed.
No, I know our own guys. Like, that's actually something that drives me crazy. I used to hate announcing games, and I'd talk to coaches about their own players, and they'd be like, what's 15's name? I'm like, wait a second. Like, that's awful. Like, no. I'm good on my guys. I'm saying opponents, you know, they're just like, I know their number, and we've got a little scouting report on them, but, like, I won't always know their name.
Let me ask, I know you got to go real quick. I called a game tonight, Middle Tennessee and Austin Peay. Austin Peay's got like 71 new players, Tim. I know that's instead of college football now, but as a coach, I mean, would that not just drive you batty? Like, you'd have to put the old tape out to write the name on the helmet.
Well, yeah, and I. One of the best points about that was made to me was from Dave Dorn, who's the head coach at North Carolina. He said one of the biggest problems when you have that kind of turnover on a roster is that none of the guys have any shared adversity with one another.
Ooh.
You know, they haven't had the mat drill workouts in the winter, and they didn't, you know, they haven't walked through life and the ups and downs of life. And so when you're trying to get your team connected, you know, you don't have the shared experience of adversity with one another to create the bond and trust and respect that you would often have. And so, yeah, I think that's one of the really big challenges that these, you know, teams have that just have so many new players, and just making sure that, you know, they appreciate one another, because they haven't walked through the adversities of life with each other.
I think that is the best thing I've ever heard on this radio station, and I'm being 100% correct with you. That shared adversity is fantastic.
Can you do this then? Can you scratch that first part out where I credited Dave Dorn and we just make it my own?
Done.
We can do that. Okay. Tim, appreciate it as always, my friend. Thank you.
All right. See you, fellas.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and the head coach at Innsworth, joining us here on the program. Good stuff there. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays with a special guest. Jim of Woody and Jim will join us here on 102.5 The Game. Jason Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, wrapping things up here on this Friday. We're excited to head to Madison, Wisconsin with MTSU as they take on the Badgers. So look forward to that. Pre-game coverage gets underway tomorrow at 1:30 on Totally Hits 93.3. And speaking of Totally Hits 93.3, that's where you can hear the Woody and Jim show every weekday morning from 5 to 10. Jim is with us now. Hi, Jim.
Hi. How are you guys?
We're good, except that mic's not working. Oh, here we go. There it is.
Hey, guys.
Go
Blue Raiders.
Live
go
radio.
Yeah, I know. Look, it's been, I guess, what, over a year now since you guys have been back?
Yeah.
Gina's in the fold.
Hit the anniversary over the summer. And, yeah, we have a great co-host. And Totally Hits 93.3 is a blast.
Yeah.
It's great to see it grow.
Well, we have loved having you guys in the building. And Gina, too, obviously, who worked here before, so it's good having her back. But we figured we'd recruit you for what day is it in celebrity birthday, so we appreciate you being able to do that.
I'm always the self-esteem builder because I'm terrible at this game, so you guys are going to feel awesome about yourselves.
Well, we're going to see. We're going to have fun. So with that, let's get to it. Dr. Crane, of course, had some hosting duties this morning, so Joe's going to handle what day is it. But it's brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. All of your commercial construction needs under one roof. JarrettCompaniesInc.com, above and beyond industry standards.
Now, Jim, feel free to comment after each one of these. What day is it? Today's Bring Your Manners to Work Day.
We need to do that every
Manners
day.
Are a lost art.
They really are.
National 401k Day.
Don't have that. We're in radio.
Yeah,
don't right. have that.
401k is, what kind of medals do I have in the backyard I can sell to the dump?
National Be Late for Something Day.
That's every day.
That happens a little too much for me.
National Shrink Day, and it's about going to the psychiatrist.
Oh, okay.
I like that.
So not George Costanza.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, that's good.
National Cheese Pizza Day.
Every now and then you just need a cheese pizza.
Isn't that really the true way to judge a pizza? Like, if you throw a ton of toppings on it, it might disguise a bad pizza. But if you're just eating a cheese pizza,
you know how good it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
Now, you guys would love this day and share with a good friend. National Chianti Day. If you are a census taker, I'd take the day off. I would knock on doors today. So,
little Hannibal Lecter.
That's
reference.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Let's move into celebrity birthdays. As always, you have to get these by 2. Jim, you're terrible at this game, but today's your redemption day.
Let's let Jim go first.
That's okay. All right.
That's our
Jim, today's birthday is the greatest James Bond of all time, George Lazenby. How old is George Lazenby today?
He's still around? Sean Connery was so old, and George Lazenby was before him, wasn't he?
Right. Yep.
I'm going to say 93.
85. 86.
He was married to Pam Shriver, the tennis player, for many years.
Nice.
Huh. This guy, his real name is Michael Douglas, but there was already a Michael Douglas in Hollywood, so he changed his name to Michael Keaton. How old is the best Batman ever?
Love me some Michael Keaton.
Me too.
Night Shift, underrated movie.
Yes.
Love that movie. I'm going to say he's 63.
71.
74. Call Starkist. It's a great line. Actress Rose McGowan.
Who?
Oh, gosh. At 41? I know, it's not even close.
I will say, I don't know, that's pretty close. 38.
52.
Oh.
Once engaged to Marilyn Manson.
That's right.
Long time ago. All right, come on down this list here. We keep going down. Love the pop-ups on this. I just watched him yesterday. He was Greg Sumner on Knott's Landing. William Devane. From 24 with, mm-hmm. he was.
Oh, yeah. He's got to be up there. 72.
84.
86. Chase is up 2-0.
Chase is crushing it.
Nice. Well done on that. Actress Christian Alfonso from Days of Our Lives.
It's never a Days of Our Lives guy. It could be. Was he a kid? I don't know. I'll just say straight up 58.
64.
62.
Oh, Chase.
3-0. You still got time, though, Jim.
Way too good at this.
That was just a guess.
TV personality, musician, lead guitar player for Don Johnson on the Great Heartbeat album. How old is Dweezil Zappa?
Frank Zappa's son, right?
Yep.
Right. Let's say 57.
That's a good guess. 58.
56. Jim, you're on
there
the
floor. There we go.
3-1. Oh, we got 3 left.
No shutouts.
Bill Mazeroski, the baseball player.
Ooh.
No clue. 66. He's probably a young dude, right?
No, I think he's older. 68.
89.
Oh, not even.
Former Major League Baseball pitcher Jeff Brantley.
59.
62.
Last birthday, Chase gets the win. Our last birthday, Jim, you could save face.
Okay.
Former Kentucky basketball player Nazi Muhammad.
I was just talking to him the other day. I should have said early happy birthday. I'm going to say 49 of your Earth years.
52.
48.
Nice. Oh.
But at the end, Chase wins 4-2. But you got two, though. I'm proud of you.
It's more than I've gotten before. So I'll rack it up as a win. Hope you guys get to witness a win when you see the Blue Raiders.
All right, out the door real quick. One more for you. If you could tie it up. This is for Jim only.
All right.
Singer Terry Ellis of En Vogue, one of the most beautiful women in that band. I don't know which one it is, but they're all beautiful. One of the women in En Vogue.
The beautifulest. I will say 51.
62.
Oh, well, she doesn't look it.
No, not at all.
Look over 40. Beautiful.
Not at all. Jim, thanks for doing this. The Woody and Jim podcast. You can get that.
Yeah. Just wherever you get your podcasts, we are there.
Awesome.
Just search Woody and Jim and we pop up.
Are you guys on YouTube?
No, we are not on the YouTube.
We need Probably to get on YouTube.
We
That's
need to get
thing.
You on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, we should. We should. Well, I always thought it was going to be a fad.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere.
No, it's sticking around. It's sticking around. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
He is Jim of Woody and Jim on Totally Hits 93.3. That is going to do it for us.
Yeah, as we always leave the show, the weekend is here. To the guys out there, you know what to do. If you are struggling, please talk to someone. Whoever it is, it's us, anybody, please reach out, talk to somebody. If you need to talk professional help, just go to our website, thegamenashville.com. Click on the Chase and Big Joe Show. There's a drop down for Unity Psychiatric Care. Help is just around the corner. You do not have to go through any of this alone. So we tell you all the time that we love you more importantly, more than anything else in this world. God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. Be nice to people. It's just, it's easy advice, and it's free. Enjoy your weekend. We're back at it Monday at 12. Stick around. DVD coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.